Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day and welcome to another sterling episode of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, Stevie Fizz, and today we are talking defenders for Supercoach. I'm absolutely pumped. We're chock in the middle of ranking season. I couldn't be more excited. And probably one of the things we've always done between myself and Jono is talk about defenders early in your draft. Jono, welcome, mate. I'm sure you're excited as well.
Yeah, g'day, Steve. G'day, listeners. It is defenders. As the listeners who have been with us for a long time know, I do love my defenders. I love to grab them early and probably overdraft defenders going into my drafts and just punting forward because they are pretty useless. But doing the rankings for the Supercoach, I found it pretty awful after the third tier of defenders this year. So we will put up all our rankings on the website, but it's been pretty hard going. And I don't know about you, Steve, but I'm getting down to about half a point here or there for people getting into a position. So I do find it hard this year for the defenders.
Yeah, I'm sort of excited down to about the mid D3 range. And then there's, you know, obviously the risky picks, the safe picks. I hate taking just safe guys, but sometimes it's the way to play. We've got some big names at the top. Bashahuli, a few question marks around it. I think it's exciting. We've got Sam Doherty coming back to the AFL. Hopefully things go really well for him, but going to be a lot of conjecture about where he should be drafted as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And even some blokes who had fallen down the list, like a Michael Hurley, where he falls into the mix of things as well, I think it's going to be an interesting discussion point as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I really see the Doc thing is I wouldn't have any beefs if people want to rank him, say, top five defender. I'm not going to do it myself, but I think people are going to rank him at D20.
Yeah, I can certainly see it. Like, his variance is, like as you said, 5 to 20. It is that big.
Yeah, and I mean, realistically, it could be beyond that. I don't think that'll happen in many drafts, but certainly exciting to talk about, and can't wait to get into it. So we're going to start it off. We're going to go through our top 30 Supercoach rankings. Jono, why don't you give us your top five and as a bit of a starting spot?
Top five, they're going to be pretty vanilla. Jake Lloyd, number one. Hard to go past that, even though I said he will not be a top 10 defender in our hot take show a few weeks ago. Zach Williams, number one Supercoach defender for the GWS. Did have a bit of mid-time, but I can still see him smashing it out again. Rory Laird, I think, gets back up into contention as a possible number one defender again. Had a bit of a quieter year in 2019. Tom Stewart really came, well, I wouldn't say out of nowhere. He averaged okay in 2018, but really stood up in 2019, and Caleb Daniel is my fifth defender.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about that. I've got four of your top five, and one of them all the way down at number 12.
Who is the one down at number 12? That seems to be the interesting one.
Caleb Daniel.
Interesting.
Okay. Caleb Daniel actually took a lot of intercept possessions last year. We know the Bulldogs had their struggles with intercept defenders. They've brought across Alex Keith, and that's really his wheel bag. I know they're different players. One's a key position player. And I don't think it should be understated that if that's how you're getting a lot of Supercoach points, that, you know, you can drop off. And there's just something about him. I don't know what it is. He's got great hair, hides under a helmet. You know, something about him, Jono.
Yeah, I still think he's going to score well. He'll take the majority of the kick-ins. I mean, Matty Suckling shares that role with him, but he knows he's one wind gust away from snapping that Achilles again. So he takes a kick-in. He's got great ball use. So, again, advantage for your super coach there. And I think he's the one that kicks in, then runs ahead of the next possession and be that third bloke taking like the kick or the handball. So I still think he's going to rack him up. He might not get, you know, the 35 possessions we saw him last year, but still around that 28, 29 disposals a game.
Yeah, I think he's just someone I'm going to be okay missing out on. I think it's a bit of gut feel on it, Jono, to be honest. There's a little bit of stats, a little bit of gut feel.
Yeah, okay. Look, agree to disagree, but I'm still pretty comfortable taking him as a D1. Next five, I've got Dan Houston. We've seen the big hype there. He's training with a midfield group. If he does maintain that role, he's just going to smash it out of the park. We saw his scores last year, pumping out 120s, 130s. Luke Ryan absolutely brained it in 2019, average of the 96. We've seen Justin Longmuir, is it? Longmire? Come out. What was it?
Longmuir.
Longmuir. It is Longmuir. Okay.
Just call him J-Lo.
J-Lo. All right. J-Lo's come out, so they're going to be playing it, what, safe out of defence. So there could be a lot of Jake Lloyd 1-2 kick and marks there for Luke Ryan. So I can see him either maintaining that 96, maybe going a little bit better. I've got Bashahuli coming in next. Now, I did say he was going to be a burn man, and that was before Alex Rance retired. But now that Rance is retired, then I can still see him maintaining that role that he had in 2019. Whether it's 105, I don't think so, but still going to be a mid-90s averaging player, which we have seen him do in the past as well. Sick dog, can't go past a sick dog. We do know that Clarko did put him down forward for a time, but they've got Patton and Mitch Lewis now. Gunson's got that injury concern, but he'll still play forward, so hard to see him coming out of that defensive unit there. And rounding out my top 10, it is the old man, Shannon Hoon. He did average 104. Don't think he's going to do that. They've got some other guys coming through there, like Shepherd, Brass, but still going to be consistent down back there for the West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, I think you're well. I got Hearn at four. I don't really see what's changed. Like, you know what I mean? He still takes all the kicks. He still intercepts the ball.
I don't know. It just might not have been as high as him. Like, I know you're very high on him, but I'm happy to have him.
Super high. He's just done it the last couple of years.
Yeah, but what is he, like 65 or something? So
yeah.
And he's had a couple of those little old man injuries, well, as the calves and hamstrings as well, so going to miss a few games. Would want to go a little bit safer as well if I'm picking a defender.
It's really interesting. Our 6, 7, 8, 9 are actually the same. They're just in reverse order.
Okay.
So
okay.
I had Sicily at 6, Hooley at 7. I think that's a bit of a placeholder. Ryan at 8 and Houston at 9. I thought I was going to be really... I mean, Ryan in Supercoach is pretty good, but it's pretty interesting seeing these takes about Ryan start to come out. I made it. Christmas.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And look, he's only finished his third year as well. Like, when I was doing a bit of research on him, I thought he'd been around for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, but he's only done 3 years in the system.
Well, he came in as mature age. Yeah. Well, he'd had waffle experience. I shouldn't say mature age. Like, he's an old man, but...
Yeah. So we've got only one different in the top 10. That's not too bad. I think now is where it's going to start to get a little bit funky.
I really don't. I think we're just going to have all the same guys, but in different order. And I think that's sort of a symptom of this off-season, Jono, is we've been having the group chats, and it's kind of hard to pick a lot of breakouts. Like, there wasn't a lot of notable retirements or, I mean, there was a couple of big trades, but they sort of got filled within.
Yeah, and touch wood, we haven't had that big injury that we've seen across a lot of pre-seasons as well.
Yeah, well, God only knows what will happen. What was the news? We record the Rock Show, and the day between release, Jared Witz gets injured. So we're recording this on Sunday. It'll be released on Wednesday.
I'm touching my wooden desk. Make sure there's no injuries to any player coming into the preseason. But number 11, Daniel Rich at 97. Again, can't see what really changes down back. Yeah, Hodgie's gone, but they've got Birchall coming
fucking
in.
Shut up with Birchall.
He's coming in, whether he plays or not. Like, different thing.
He's in Queensland.
Yeah, exactly. He's in the team. But whether he plays in that team, it's a different story. Nick Newman, he's been shit-canned a lot for his super coach, and we wondered, you know, Horse Longmire absolutely just shat all over him in terms of fantasy, as he does with a lot of players. Hello, Tom Mitchell. And he just smashed it last year, average of 97. There is going to be that interesting dynamic with how the Carlton defenders are going to work with Doc, Petrescu, Seaton, and that. So I do have him up there for the time being. Jack Crisp for Collingwood. Again, can't see too much changing there. Again, we thought with Dane Beams coming in, it'll take Chris midfield time away from him. But with Beams and his mental health, that shouldn't change. I do have the Doc there in at, 14? I don't know where to rank this guy, so I'm just plonking him as a D2 for now. And I've just got to wait for the Marsh series to see what happens. My favourite defender, he's a redhead, it's Nick Vlosten. Coming in next. Again, he probably would have been ranked a little bit lower with Rancey playing, but with Rancey's retirement, again, I can't see Richmond's defensive setup changing too much. So there's going to be a lot of that plus one as loose man in defence for Vlosten there, which he played last year, as well as running off the half back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting, man. It's an interesting situation, that Richmond one. Vlosten, he's kind of been the whipping boy for fantasy for a few years.
He has, but it just seemed all, after Rance went down, they changed how they set up, and it just really worked, and all the defenders scored particularly well. So I'm interested to see how they go over the preseason. I don't see it changing too much.
Yeah, all these guys, again, were all sort of around the same mark. I had Rich a spot higher, Crisp couple spots higher. He never really misses Crisp. I kind of like that about him. And he was a little bit down on his super coach, so that was a bit interesting. Doherty, I put Doherty at 13. I thought that would be funny. also, it's a spot Newman.
Couldn't get him at 69.
Yeah. No, well, you know.
69th overall pick, possibly.
That's in the right, right. Yeah. And Newman at 12. So, again, we're really same players all around it, sort of thing.
Yeah, but yeah.
What do you think about these top? Like, we talked about the top 15. What's going to be your strategy on? Like, obviously, we don't know our picks yet and all that sort of thing. But do you have a general strategy this year? I know you mentioned at the top of the show about maybe liking early forwards a little bit more this year.
Now that I've done my ranks with the forwards, I don't know what I'm doing right now. I keep changing my mind every few minutes. Like, I'm thinking, depending on what pick I get, is it a mid pick and then get my D first defender with my third pick and punt forwards a little bit later? Again, keep that high forward pick as a second or first or second pick. It's just a lot of variables at the moment, which I don't know which way I'm going to jump until our mock site's up and running, Steve.
Yeah, I think it's. I think it's really interesting. I reckon I'd be pretty happy with a lot of these guys as my D1.
Yeah, even all the way down there to Vlosten, I'd be happy with a D1. So punting defenders a little bit, yeah, sure. I can see people going mid for their first three picks, and I wouldn't hold it against them.
Yeah, I reckon I'd be okay up to maybe, you'd want to be sure about Houston's role, but maybe Houston would be the last guy I'd want as a D1. But what's interesting is you might be able to, let's say you go mid, and let's say you take Lloyd or something in the first round and go mid, you might still get Houston in round 5-4, something like that.
Yeah, I still think, and even a Newman or a Rich, I think you could snag as well.
Yeah, because I mean, those top forwards are going to be off the board by the time we get back around to that point.
Yeah, exactly right. So, no, I'd be happy with any of those guys as well. Kicking off now for number 16 is Lachie Weller, Gold Coast Suns.
What?
Yeah, man.
Fuck off.
Average to 91. Pierce Hanley's dead.
No,
Jared Harbour.
She's like 88. Or my numbers wrong.
88.7 or something it was.
Well, you rounded up 3 points.
It was 88.7. It was 0.3 I rounded up. So 88, 89 the average.
Yeah.
Pierce Hanley's dead. Jared Harbrow's an old man. He was the one in defence taking all that ball. So I'm keen on him. I was an owner of him last year. It could be the owner love, but I watch a lot of Gold Coast, and he was the man running that ball out of defence that we saw Jared Harbrow and Pierce Hanley in years gone by do. So I think it's going to be him and maybe Lukosius this year who are going to take over that role.
I think this is a big problem, man, because you still got Brandon Ellis coming into that team. You got Lukosh as an absolute weapon. Like, you see these guys who are like, and I'm not saying he's not a good player because he's fine, right? But you see these guys come in average mid 80s. There's not really many tricks about them. And just because they're young, it's kind of expected that they'll keep improving. This is a DOS take.
I think this is his role. Like, he took that role of Harbrow and Hanley last year. Like, I watched him a fair bit and kept an eye on him. And he took that role, and I think he'll maintain that role because, as I said, Hanley's dead and Harbrow's just old, man. He's old.
He can keep the role, but there might be less ball to go around. Or there might be, you know, more competition is all.
Potentially, but it's early. We'll wait for the March series and see what happens. Coming in next is Christian Salem. Pretty safe bet if you want to get him as a D2. Seems to have gotten over those injury concerns. He's averaged pretty well, low 90s the last couple of years. Melbourne have to improve after their horror 2019, I think. Another safe one is Brody Smith at Adelaide. Average the 89. No one's going to tag him. He's going to do what Brody Smith does, just kick it off the halfback, get long kicks, potentially inside 50. So plenty of points there. One who's snuck inside my top 20, and that's DBJ. He's someone who could absolutely pop. I think we've got some questions later on. He could actually pop massively in 2020, I think. His floor, he had a couple of 50s, and he had that injury-affected game, but he was pumping out 110s, 120s, and someone who can continue to go massive. And rounding out my top 20, someone who had a bit of a down year, but I think can bounce back, and that's Jeremy Howe. He's been a pretty consistent defender while he's been at Collingwood. Only averaged the 80 last year, but I can see him pumping up back to the 88s to 90s this year.
Yeah, I thought I liked Howe, and I had him at like 35. So, bit of a disconnect there. But I'm staggered that you'd have guys like Christian Salem and who was the other driver? In front of Brody Smith, man. Like, that seems outrageous to me.
See, I probably have them in the same tier where I'm happy to take them.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to take
them. Fair enough. See, I'm cagey about Salem, man. Like, you've got, it looks like James Harms is moving to halfback permanently.
One of our Twitter followers said this, but I've tried Googling it. There is no reports of it anywhere. I've not seen any articles about this.
I'm just saying, he played it in the last round last year. It said it would continue, track watches and so forth. But and also, you've had the wings come in. Like, you've had two wingmen come in. So I like Salem as a player. He's a very talented player, and I'd certainly want the ball in his hands. Great kick, but injury history, you know, I'm not sure I'd call him safe at all.
He's played last 2 years, both full seasons, so. Might have missed one game with a concussion, I think, but
yeah, I had DBJ at 20, so I'm with you there. I'd have lost him at 17, you know. A lot of the similars, but I can't get behind Weller. I got him at 27.
Okay.
Completely happy missing on that.
Not massive worlds apart, but still worlds apart.
Let's go. We were just going to talk about our reviews. We're up to 243 iTunes ratings. Ooh. So we got the Stato Challenge at 250, former member of the Draft Doctors, the Statesman.
I believe he was on the other pod because they needed some help to get through their ranking because it's just been utter garbage, I heard.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all, Jono. Doesn't surprise me at all. He's doing something at 250, whether it was the mega ramp or dunking from the foul line or something. I can't remember what it was, Jono, but he's doing something at 250. 250. So get on the iTunes and drop a review and a rating. All that
and
sort
a rating.
Of stuff.
Seven more.
Yeah.
Should get
Dossie. Once Statesman's got it, the only person left is me. And you know I'll do some stupid shit.
Well Dossie still hasn't finished up on his part of the deal in illustrating the book for Baby Fizz. So there's got to be some sort of punishment for that.
It'll be like Baby Fizz's 18th birthday, and Dossie will present the things like a birthday present. Useless prick.
Yep. All right, moving on now to 21. It is Michael Hurley. The Bombers have had a pretty shit decade and a half, not winning finals or making finals. And I love it. Absolutely love it. But he's just one of those vanilla picks you sort of overlook, but he's, you know, average in the 90s the last couple of years. And, yeah, he's had a bit of injury history, and that's why I've got him in 21 there. And I think he bounces back to getting to some sort of high-end fantasy return there. Old Man Simpson, it's his 400th preseason, so congratulations to Case Simpson coming at 22. He did average 82 in 2019. Again, he's in that mix with the Carlton defenders, just how it's going to play out. Look, if his base is 82, I know he's, you know, a million years old, but if he can get back to an 85, 86, he's in your, what, D3, D4 range. I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Pretty comfortable drafting a D4 as the 22nd defender.
Yeah.
That seems like bad strategy, my friend.
You know me and my defenders. You know me and my defenders. I'll take, like I did last year, I took that extra defender when I should have taken Timmy Taranto as my M4, so I'll take a defender.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. Your boy, Doss's boy and everyone's boy, Jordan Dawson. I think there's a cushy role for him there at Sydney, but it's interesting, just going through the list, they've gotten Louis Taylor in there. Whether he plays or not, it's going to be interesting. He's got a wing role there. And also, so he could be someone who slides down a little bit. I've got him in there just for he's young, improving, but I'm happy to actually miss him. When it comes to drafting him, I'll leave that to someone else. Coming in at 24, I've got Jaden Short. He did average a 64, but he's going to have a preseason under his belt now. He's hopefully going to be that guy we saw a couple of years ago where he was just streaming out of defense, kicking along, getting plenty, and even kicking a few snags as well from about 75 meters out. So I'm pretty keen just to roll the dice on Jaden Short to see what he can do. And Jeremy McGovern coming in at 25 there. He's just safe as houses. Great interceptor, contested marks, hardly misses. So he's just someone who just gets the job done.
Yeah, the only thing about him is he tends to, you know, miss three quarters of a match every now and again and get.
But he's one of those players who just needs one quarter and he'll get you 75.
Yeah. Oh, look, I like him. I've got him at 21, so I'm a bit more on board with him than you. Let's go through these. So Hurley, I was 23, so pretty similar. Cade, I don't even have him in my top 30.
I think there's just one more year. This is it. The last hurrah, and they're just going to drain him.
All those Carlton halfbacks is just the biggest. I don't want a piece of that situation at all. I really don't, man. I really don't. Jaden Short, I like the pick. I had him at 34. I thought that wasn't unfair. Bit of post-hype sleeper love. He was a hype player last year, so he might be getting some good value on that. I like that. I got Dawson at 19, so I'm a little bit higher.
Yeah, I just think the whole Sydney dynamic, I mean, they got shown up last year. That slow, contested, move the ball. I think the 666 showed them up a little bit. And towards the back end of the year, it looked like they were trying to experiment a little bit of how to move the ball out of defence. So we could see something different from them this year. So I'd be interested to see how they actually set up.
Well, they threw him back there for the last little bit. But they had, you got to remember, they had so many injuries at their key defender stocks last year.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
But, no, I'll talk about it after, but Dane Rampey just does my fucking head in, that bloke.
I got him, I've obviously got him a lot higher than you, so why don't you...
No, he's not in my top 30, but I just want to talk about him.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I got him at 16, so I'm pretty happy to talk about him.
Oh, do you want to talk about it now or after the...
Let's go now. I got him at 16. You don't have him top 30.
Don't have him a top 30. Great Supercoach player and that. And he just, I think it's sort of like an outlier year. I know he's never done it before, but he's always been that 84-ish type bloke for me. And I think maybe due to the injuries, that's why he scored so well. So I'm not as hot on him as you are this year. But yeah, he's certainly in my D4 range.
Well, I didn't think I was super hot, but, you know, I don't think 16's unfair. And like you said, this is what happens. Like, we preach internal... Well, sorry, we shouldn't say we, but I preach internal competition as a way to identify goings up and goings down in averages. We've taken out one of the best defensive players. Like, Heath Grundy's one of the most underrated players I can remember. Mm. He's a star. So you've lost him. Nick Smith, another, you know, good player, had his battles. So they've
Teddy
lost...
Richards.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've lost... Going back a bit there, but they... shut up. they've lost some people who do things that do good things for Supercoach.
Yeah.
And Dane Rampey, like, I'm pretty sure you get 30 points for climbing a goalpost.
Should do anyway.
Yeah, I don't see what's changed in their defence. That's all. Like, I know they added Caden Brand. Whether he's good, I don't know. Maybe they put Tom McCartan back. I don't know. But if Buddy's injured or whatever, maybe they can't do that. So I just don't see what's happened in Sydney's defence where Rampey isn't, you know, a great intercepting player.
Willie O'Lear, if they're ruckman of...
Well, he played last year.
Yeah, but he was also pushing up the ground, sort of playing ruck as well, majority of the time too.
Majority of the time?
Well, 50-50.
He played some ruck.
I'd say 50-50.
Fuck off. Oh, man, did you watch Sydney?
Nah, they were too hard to watch.
They are hard to watch.
But yeah, oh look, if he slips to me, Rampey, I'll take him, but that's, you know.
And just speaking about that, like, I look at North Melbourne, right? They've lost Scott Thompson, who is, again, a really good intercept player. There is a world of opportunity there. I don't have, like, Dawe ranked or anything like that, but, you know, Tarrant could pick it up. Someone else we don't even know could come in and pick up, you know, a really good Supercoach average. It wouldn't shock me to see random Kangaroo average 87.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think I've got Tarrant, McMillan, and Dawe, like, in just a block of three because any one of them... Well, McMillan's generally pretty solid, but Tarrant and Dawe, I think, could go up a little bit as, with that Scotty Thompson void now.
Yeah, but I agree just completely. But I don't know who it is.
No.
At the minute, so... Why do you keep going?
Last five, Shane Savage. I don't know why, but I've got him in there. Like I said, I don't know why I've got him in there. Okay.
I cannot pick a player I want less this year than Shane Savage. I don't think I'll have him in my top 40, top 50.
Wow.
Look at what St Kilda have got going for
him. I know, just what St Kilda have just got in there, but they're still going to use him, aren't they? Like Dylan Robertson, it's a great story and everything, but I don't think he plays.
It's all the other guys, like Zach Jones, Hunter Clark's development, Caulfield's development.
Yeah. I understand. I don't know. I've got him, but I'm happy to miss him, but I still think he averages pretty well. Okay, but...
You will not have him in any draft, I promise. You liar.
I will not have him.
You won't draft him anywhere.
No, he's never been on my... He's on my do not draft list all the time. Shane Suckling. Matt Suckling. Again, he's just been consistent when he's out in the park. Again, he's got that dodgy Achilles, so there is a chance he only plays for 15 games. But when he's out there, he's good for 85. He might throw in a couple of 30s if Bevo throws him forward because he's got no forward craft whatsoever. But he's one of those guys to take some of the kick-ins, sharing with Caleb Daniel. I like Nick Haynes. If he can stay fit, I see this guy as the Heath Shaw heir apparent. He's going to be taking the kick-ins. He gets the marks. He can push up the ground a little bit. Averaged the 87 last year. I think he could be a little bit sneaky in some drafts, but it depends if people start to hype him up too much. But I like Nick Haynes for 2020. Jason Johannesson comes in at 29. I know the Doggies have got a lot of same type defenders, but he's the guy who breaks the lines a bit. So they're always trying to get the ball in his hands. Did get the tag many years ago, but they seem to leave him alone now. And number 30, he is my boy. It is Harris Andrews from the Brisbane Lions. I love the bloke. He's just a good interceptor. He got the All-Australian, and he's just going to be another solid pick for 2020.
Your boy, you've done him dirty. I've got him at 25.
Oh, I'll swap him for Shane Savage then to pump him up.
Yeah, how have you got Shane Savage? Man, that is such a shit pick. Yeah, I have JJ. He's out of my top 30. Savage in the gutter somewhere. Which is funny because I was sort of about him last year. Matty Suckling, you had at 27 with you there. Haynes, I had Suckling at 29. Haynes at 22. Certainly more of a Supercoach player. And it's sort of interesting. I was sort of going through Haynes' numbers today, and he really got a boost at the end there when, like, Taylor was missing and Zach Williams was on the inside. He's a great intercept player. I don't know that he can sustain that massive mark tally this year, but he certainly got a boost from GWS's playing style.
Yeah, as I said, I think once Heath Shaw retires, probably at the end of this year, that's when we're really going to see. He's not going to do Heath Shaw numbers of 90s and 100s, but I still think he's going to be a pretty consistent player for a few years if he stays fit.
Yeah, fair enough. So we've obviously got a few different. You had Short, Howe, Simpson, JJ, and Savage that I didn't have.
Yeah.
So I had Shane Edwards in at 24.
I think he's like number 31 for me off my rank, so he's in the ballpark there for me.
Yeah. I think there's a bit of opportunity at Richmond. Hunter Clark in at 26. You can't tell me you'd rather Savage than Clark. Come on, man.
Again, I think all these guys are there, 31, 32,
33. I had Brad Shepherd at 28. He didn't really have a bad game last year. He just kind of plodded along.
I was looking at that. Like, I don't have him in my top 30. I was actually doing an adjustments to my ranks, like those back-end ones. And I'm like, oh, Brad Shepherd. You just forget about him. And that's why I have moved him up a little bit. But he'd be in that 33 bracket sort of thing as well.
Yeah, you really want him as a D4, not a D3.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I got Callum Mills at 30.
Yeah, just stand up the love for Mills.
Still going down there. A couple of guys who just missed for me, Jono, were Short, Howe. I had Sydney Stack at 42.
I can't remember, but he'd be like 35 to 45, something like that.
I got Keith at 50.
And, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, and the whole North Melbourne situation. I want to see what happens in the preseason there. But who are some of the guys who missed out for you?
Who I got? As I said, I think Clark, Edwards have just missed, those sorts of blokes. I'm just pulling up my ranks now.
I think if you don't have Clark in your top 30, you'll probably miss him.
I probably would.
Shane Edwards, you'd probably get outside of top 30 defenders.
Yeah, Shane Edwards, 31. Rampy, 32. Alex Keith. Sydney Stack at 35, Doty at 37. You could probably get him later, but I think he comes back now that Keith's gone, so he's some value there. I had Callum Mills at 40. Hunter Clark, Pittard, someone who scored all right for you last year as well. So again, as we said, after these 30, it's a bit of a meh. You can grab whoever you like, sort of thing, and it's. I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference. Like, I'm pretty keen on Jared Leanit and see what happens there.
Yeah.
With the Port Adelaide guys, Ryan Burton as well. Could be anything as well. So, there's quite a few blokes there that, after that D4 onwards, that just, you know, take the lottery pick on them. And you do bat deep with the defenders this year. Steve Hill, Connor Blakely, I don't know if you've gone that far, but where have you got Blakely?
You're going to make me bring up my ranks. I think he was about 32, something like that.
Yeah, I've got him at 53. That's how much I hate the prick.
Yeah, I'm not. And he missed all the preseason last year, so.
He's not much of a super coach. He's more your AFL fantasy type operator, so.
No doubt. And Jordan Dawson's completely the same.
Yeah, agree.
Where is it? 31. So,
okay.
I had him there. Miller just outside.
Yep.
Yeah. JJ, 38. He's probably better than that, but that's sort of how the chips have fallen. Chera, I had 45.
39 Chera for me.
What do you think about Darcy Moore? Because he could honestly finish pretty high.
He could be anything. I've got him down, but... I just want to see how Conley was set up as well, because he could be locked down, he could be interceptor, you know, could play forward and just completely
shit all over. He's not playing forward.
Who the fuck knows with Buckley? He can do anything.
It's Buckley, it's not buddy Bevo.
I don't know. This is the guy who's going, I'll play, what's his face, Cox and running the ruck. I know it only lasts a week, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So...
That ruined the whole preseason for us.
That's true.
For me, anyway.
We got some questions.
Yeah, we got some questions from the Twitters, so keep hitting us up. Actually, we might have a giveaway or something next week, Jono, because moving house down to the Wong, I found some old shirts that I made up, so we might do a bit of a giveaway there. So keep your eyes peeled if you want some old Draft Doctors merch. But Ben, he has Freo in mind and stats. Does he have do we have stats on Brayshaw in the midfield? No, we don't have those splits on hand. There's many good statistical websites out there. And do we get excited if we see Blakely in the midfield or at half back?
Get a little bit excited, but for how long until he gets some sort of injury? That's the question. And yeah, Freo's setup. How are Freo playing their setups this year?
Yeah, I think he's really interesting. We got a new coach. We don't know. I mean, he might think Blakely's shit.
Well, that's right. You know, it's a big wait and see for Freo in the March series for me. Like, I think the only certainty I've got is Fife. Like, that's it. And Luke Ryan.
I find it hard to believe he'd be squeezing back in there when they've got two top five midfielders there, plus all the guys they just drafted last year on top of the dual Brownlow medalist, Michael Walters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly right.
So I'd say he's off half back. Do I get excited about it? He's okay. He's fine.
Yeah, I think that bridge has been well and truly burnt with me and done.
Yeah. Mosquito Fleet asks, is Laird steady again or will he go 2018 beast mode?
He'll be around the 100 mark, I think. I don't think he'll go beast mode, but he'll be pretty steady.
No, I think he'll be just who he was last year. I think he's got a really narrow range of outcomes. I think a lot of 2018 was due to guys just, there was no one else down there.
Yeah.
Like Smith was missing, Miller hadn't really developed, come on. Yeah.
Seedsman, I don't think, had arrived yet. So,
yeah, I think it was. There was a lot of that going on. James asks, on a scale of finished to dead, where is Michael Hibbard's fantasy relevance at?
Very late in your draft, or pick him off the waiver wire if he does something.
I'd say finished. You can't be moving James Harms down there and think it's good for...
Unless Harms is training as a backup for when Hibbert eventually does go down.
Yeah, I'm not about it, man. yeah, Hibbert, yeah, God. Golden Tink asked, should have saved it for the forward show, but why do you think, as in the Draft Doctors, think Whitfield is a risk of dropping with his round 6 and 11 scores bearing his average and Ward's return and other mids playing together not really affecting his outside role?
I think it's just going to be all those guys coming back. He's not going to continue doing what he was doing. Put it that way. They've got
He could.
I don't think it'll happen. I mean, the points have got to be split somewhere, don't they? So it, I think...
Yeah, I actually have some good numbers on this. And the whole mids playing together thing, if you include Toby Green in the midfield group, Whitfield, Kelly, Cornelio... Green, all these guys played one game together last year. One. So if you bring Ward in, it moves someone else outside or at least chops up the role a little bit. I actually statted out Whitfield today. I only have him dropping like a couple of points, like two.
Like, so what do you average? 111, something like that.
111 in Supercoach, 113 in Dream Team. I think he goes back a few points. Not many. He could bang it out of the park and keep going like that.
I've got him averaged around 105. That's where I've got him.
Like, his mark totals were obscene for a midfielder last year. Obscene.
Oh, I understand that, but yeah, I think 5-6 point drop is what I'm...
And he'll probably still be the top forward with that.
Exactly right. People think it's all doom and gloom for Whitfield, but it's not going to be a 10-15 point drop. It'll be, as you said, 5 to 2 points.
It'd be like when look at Rory Led, perfect example. We just spoke about him. When the guys came back, he didn't go. He went from the Uber start to just a really great good solid player. Genuine top five type of guy.
Yeah, exactly right.
I don't think the drop would be worse than that. No. If there is one, he could keep going. I don't know. He's a gun. But, GWS led the league in marks last year. That's how he builds his score. I mean, when things are at the top, they usually don't keep going up.
Keep going, no.
Chris, but it's a good question. Man, if you're on Whitfield, take him, you know, as early as you want. I'd consider him at pick 3.
Interesting.
Chris, candidates for this year's Tom Stewart. Jono.
As I said, DBJ, I think, is one of those candidates that can really smash it out. Keep an eye on Jaden Short. Might not go 98, but could push close to a 90-91. Given the right role, I'm pretty happy with that. It's really hard this year. As we've mentioned throughout the show, there hasn't been a lot of retirement, so there's not a lot of positions opened up. Again, we're going to wait for the Marsh series to happen. I mean, we always get excited for the Marsh series when we see something happen, but then doesn't eventuate in round one. But they're probably the two guys that I'm most keen about in terms of defense who could go full Tom Stewart in 2020, I think.
DBJ is an interesting one. I'll say Luke Ryan again because I've sort of made that that line.
I know he's defending me, but
Houston's doing it in a different way. Would Haynes count?
Yeah, Haynes could do it. Definitely do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last question. Rob asks, Luke Ryan feels he could explode with what Longmuir did at the Pies and defensive pressure. Rob, yes, go check out the Hot Takes show from around Christmas time where I said all that. But what do you think about Luke Ryan, Jono? What are your takes?
I've loved Luke Ryan. I've been actually been on him since he pretty much started the comp. I know I had him a couple of years ago. I was actually keen on him last year, but someone jagged him before I did, so missed out on that hot run. But yeah, big fan of Luke Ryan, and hopefully get him this year, but it's going to be a lot of competition for him, I think.
Yeah, the highs were high last year, but the lows were pretty low.
But that's Luke Ryan. That's Luke Ryan. He'll give you 150, next week 38. Luke Ryan.
I think that's where he gets better, is the floor comes up.
Oh, totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree.
And it's got to be, look, Jono, it's really exciting for us. I know people are always asking for tips for draft day and all that sort of stuff. We do our draft order by the Royal Rumble. We get a player and when they're eliminated, a wrestler, and when they're eliminated, that's the pick and it goes down to one. And we're doing our draw this coming Friday, I believe.
This Friday. So by the forward show, we'll have our picks and we can discuss and... Depending on when we record, we could record it on the Monday because that's when the Rumble is and a public holiday. So we might, if you want, we can do it then and discuss our picks and maybe do some draft hypothetical drafting from there.
We could possibly do that. Okay,
all right, yeah,
we'll do that. Yeah, but you know, if you're interested in a fun way and you like the wrestling, that's certainly and with the public holiday. Holy hell, John, it's a great time this year.
So good. I think even last year it happened to fall upon a Monday as well, so very lucky we get it 2 years in a row and get some friends together, have a few beers, put the barbecue on, and happy days.
Yeah, no, it's just good times. So it's what it's all about, Jono. Bit of fun, bit of frivolity with your mates, and a bit of bants.
Gotta love the banter.
About. Yeah, it's what it's all about. So as Jono mentioned, we'll be talking forwards next week. Be sure to check out Dossie's amazing article that I read twice on the website. The hype of the week, my favorite article, Jono, and leave your iTunes rating and review. Get us up to 250 ratings so we can get Stato jumping Springfield Gorge on his skateboard. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Forwards. Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.